Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and life coach Wendy Dillard here. Today is Friday. Happy Friday, April 13th, 2018.
Happy Friday.
4 p.m. Eastern Time, your second daily dose of happy for the day. And around here, Friday the 13th is always a happy day because it's always happy around here.
So I didn't even realize it was Friday
it's
the 13th.
It's Friday the 13th.
That's so cool.
It is, yeah. Yeah, other people wield scythes and chainsaws and so forth, and we wield flowers and beautiful trees. You know, it's a different kind of Friday around here.
And, you know, I'm having a dinner tonight with my sister, and my sister was born on Friday the 13th.
Oh, no kidding.
So the fact that it is a Friday the 13th and I get to spend it with her, that just makes it like, I don't know, like the planets are aligned or something.
So this is her birthday today?
No, but she was born on a Friday.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay. Oh, all right. I was going to say that would be really serendipitous if that was her birthday today, but no, that's all right.
Really?
So how's your week been? You've been on vacation or staycation all week. How's it been?
Oh, it's been nice. You know, I always have an expectation that I'm going to get a whole bunch of stuff done, and then it doesn't happen. So then part of me feels a little bit disappointed, like, oh, I should have gotten more done while I had the time. And then a part of me is just thrilled because I did what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I got my IRS taxes done last night, so that at least is a big weight off my thoughts.
And, that's good, yeah.
But I've done things that have been more mental. Mm-hmm. They've been more about focusing. And that's something that I like to take the time when I have blocks of time and utilize it for exactly what I did. So all in all, it's been a really, really good time off.
Plus, like my wife likes to point out, we're human beings, not human doings. So being is actually a good thing.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I've been in the space of beingness, just letting myself sit and think and being.
Being is important. Even when we're doing it's actually the most important, I think, when we're doing, to be perfectly honest.
When we're doing.
Yeah, in other words, well, if we just do without, you know, just like fly into it and just do, it's kind of like doing without getting into alignment. But when we get into alignment first, now we're in the being mode, and then we're beings who are doing.
Got it.
Make sense?
Got it. Yeah, well, I have some stuff to talk on that subject, which will launch us into the show. But first, you know, is there something you want to chat about that, you know, is going on in your day?
Well, that's true, because once you get going, I mean, this could go on for a half hour to 45 minutes, so I better get mine in now.
That's me being courteous and passing the baton.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Actually, there's not a lot to report. I mean, the one good thing that I can really report is that I've been working on putting the book together, and it's now about 70% put together, so I've made some good progress today. Yeah. So it's coming right along. But well, other than that, I'm excited about the weekend being here. I'm excited every single day. And the segment intending's been really helping. That's been keeping me focused and keeping me feeling good every task that I do. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, good things are going on.
Hey, do you want to give us an example of a segment intend that you've done and how you did it and how it resulted?
Oh, well, let's see. When I sat down to do the book today, to work on the book, I just basically, well, I'm doing it in combination with mirror exercises, right? So I go over to the mirror, look in the mirror, do my usual, hi, how you doing, that kind of thing. And then I just go into, well, okay, now we're going to do working on the book, and we're not going to worry about how much of it we get done, but we're just going to feel good every step of the way as we're doing this. And I'm smiling as I'm saying these things, and just, you know, maybe throwing an occasional, by the way, you're looking really good today, things like that.
So this is all, you're saying all this while you're
looking
in the mirror.
Looking in the mirror, right, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do it for like 30 or 45 seconds. And then, okay, I'm ready to go. Sit down, start working on the book, and boom, 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 things start flowing right along, and I fill in the pages and copy over the stuff, and I'm formatting and making it all fit, and it all just kind of flows together.
So are you feeling that when you're doing the segment intending that you're really getting the results that you were desiring?
Yeah, better results, certainly. If I sat down to do something without doing the segment intending, I would get mixed results. You know, if it depends what kind of mood I just kind of by default had before I did it. So if my mood was good, I get some good stuff done. If my mood wasn't so good, well, I wouldn't get so much stuff done. If my mood was really poor, I might just put it aside and start playing with Facebook for a while. So, yeah.
So what I'm hearing is it's like it's really setting you up to kind of tune in your dial.
Oh, yeah.
To being in the energy of, okay, this is what we're doing. This is really fun. I look forward to this kind of accomplishment versus just sitting down by default and whatever happens, happens.
Oh, yeah. Very much so. In fact, I mean, most of my life, I've always been pretty good at sitting down and just focusing, you know, really focusing on what I'm doing. But like with anybody else, I do it a whole lot better and a whole lot easier when my energy is there. So that's really what the difference is. I'm building my energy up before I sit down to do it or before I go off to do whatever. I mean, I may be making breakfast, maybe taking my walk. It could be anything. But whatever it is that I'm doing, I'm getting my energy there. And once my energy is there, I mean, I can take my usual level of focus and multiply it by two or three just because the energy is there and it's like half as difficult as it was, you know? So it's easy, it's energetic, and it's well-focused, which is exactly what anybody needs when they're doing a task, right?
You know, all week long I've known that I had intended to work on my tax return, and I was going to do it this week while I was off because taxes are due on Tuesday. And I knew that when I go back to work, I'll be way too busy because I've been gone for a week. So it's like it had to be done during this time off. Mm-hmm. And every day I'd think about it. And every day it was like, oh, I'm so not in the mood to do that. And so it was interesting because the thought that preceded me sitting down to do it yesterday was I was thinking about how, you know, because I always have Schedule C deductions. And so I had kind of already sorted my receipts, you know, and had totaled them per category. So that was something that I did back in January. And so last night I had the thought, I went, well, this isn't that hard. I've used the same online system, you know, multiple times. I know how to do it. I know the ins and outs. Where in the past, you know, when it's new and you have to learn new software, it's, you know, it's more time consuming.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, I don't have any weird energy. Like last year, I had an energy credit and it took me hours to research it and understand what form to fill out and how to do it. And I thought, you know, this year I don't have anything unusual. Mm-hmm. Everything I'm doing is something I've done in the past. And so the thought came to me, this should be pretty simple. I should be able to knock this out in a couple of hours. And I thought, and if it needs to go into Friday morning, I had the time this morning to do it. And so there was a feeling of, oh, this could be done with ease. And I'm aware, I didn't think about it yesterday, but it's like now as I'm recalling it, I did segment intend without saying to myself, I'm going to segment intend right now. But I actually did because I thought through mentally like all the little resistant pockets that I had been having during the week, like why I thought it would be a pain in the neck. Well, I knocked them all down. I went, oh, this should be pretty simple. And when I came to the, I should be not able to knock this out in, you know, a few hours, that made it very doable. And then I sat down and I just kind of started rocking and rolling. And before I knew it, it was submitted. And I went, wow, that was the easiest IRS tax preparation thing I think I've ever done.
Very nice.
So, yeah, that was segment intending. I just sometimes forget that that's what I'm doing I just did it.
Yep.
But segment intending, good stuff.
It is. I actually did it last week. I did our taxes last Saturday. And I have to tell you, honestly, that's probably my least favorite thing to do throughout the entire year. So it's a tough one for me. And there have been years where it's been really, really difficult to do. Most of it's just emotional. Most of it is not that the actual, you know, activities are difficult. Because like you say, most of them is stuff that you just do over and over and again. And I'm used to it. I mean, I have two Schedule Cs, mine and my wife's. And, you know, that's fairly straightforward stuff. And yet, nevertheless, I've always gotten all, you know, bent out of shape about it. So, you know, usually I have to like bribe myself to do it. You're like, okay, you get to have an ice cream if you do this or whatever. And this year, well, I did get the ice cream, but besides the ice cream, I also did the mirror work with the intending. I'd done the mirror work earlier. I didn't do them together, but I did do the segment intending. And that did help because literally what I did with my intending was I just want this to be easy. You know, I'm tired of being stressed out doing all this stuff. I just want this to be easy. I want this to just go simply and easily and maybe just get done in a couple hours. Like you know, you were going to get yours done in a couple hours. Mine took me about 2.5 hours. And when it was done, I was like, oh, thank goodness. And it wasn't all that difficult.
So, and
you know,
I know that Abraham calls it segment intending and it's considered one of their many, many processes.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about it in terms of its essence, it's really the phrase segment intending and the way they talk about doing it is just a nifty package for getting you to focus your specific attention on what you desire.
Yeah. Exactly.
And so in a sense, we could probably take the essence of segment intending or even do it with the labeling of segment intending and every desire we ever want, if we just focus ourselves the way we do when we do, you know, short little bursts throughout the day of segment intending, you know, we would really, I think it would move the needle.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you're right. It's not just Abraham who teaches this. I mean, anybody, mm-hmm. any success coach that has ever taught goal setting is essentially teaching segment intending. The only real difference is the coaches who teach about goal setting don't necessarily talk about getting yourself into what Abraham would call a high-flying vibration or, you know, a really good-feeling place. But other than that, it's essentially the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I know Tony Robbins, he does this. Every time he goes on stage or every time he's about to meet with a client, he like kind of has some mantras that he repeats and he does some physical movements that get him into a peak state. And he mentally focuses what his intention is for whatever is about to happen.
Sure. Yeah.
And I know he's taught that to many people. And I know a number of people who go out on stage that they, you know, have like a 5-minute exercise of things that they do to focus their attention before they go out on stage. And really that is the essence of segment intending.
It is.
There's a lot of,
yeah.
You're right. It's not just an LOA thing. It's not just a Abraham thing. A lot of people use it and they call it by many different names.
I do like the fact though, that Abraham emphasizes the feeling part. Not that
Absolutely.
Others don't, but they really emphasize that part, saying that's the most important part. And I agree. Now that I understand how important that is, I agree. That is the most important part.
Yeah. And when Tony Robbins does it, he's always about your state, and your state is your feeling to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he even has power moves that he does where he kind of like a Pavlov's dog scenario where he's anchored his own conditioning where he pounds his chest literally with a fist. And when he does, it changes his anatomy. It changes his whole state of being. And he goes into like super powerful mode.
Ah.
Because that's what he's anchored himself to.
Yeah, right.
Where he's ready to go. It's, you know, he calls it up time. You know, he's ready to go. He's pumped. You know, he's raring to make a difference.
That's quite an anchor he has there. Boom. He all of a sudden he becomes
yeah.
super Tony.
Yeah. And I attempted that, but that one wasn't as feasible for me. You know,
okay.
It's not that I couldn't, it just felt really weird as a woman. I don't want to pound my chest, you know, and he doesn't say you have to use that. That's just his move.
Right.
And I never really could find something that really worked for me.
Yeah.
But doing the segment intending where it's a mental exercise where you just make a choice, you know, you make a choice that, okay, I'm going to, you know, intend, I'm going to focus on what it is that I want to occur. And that seems to work almost every time.
Well, I have to admit, I really don't want to be Tarzan of the jungle when I'm looking in the mirror. That's not my goal.
Well, and for you, especially because you've actually merged it with your mirror work.
Yeah,
so
right.
To me, that's a great example of how you've taken the essence of another something, but you meshed it with something else that's already working for you.
Yeah, exactly.
And you've kind of made it your own thing.
Yep.
And I like that.
Yeah, I do too. And I recommend that anybody else, you know, try combining things together that have worked for you. Because if they both work, you put them together, you're basically multiplying your effect, which is really cool.
Absolutely. Well, and if you already know you have great success with one, it's almost like you're borrowing the successful feeling from the one thing, which for you is mirror work, and you're integrating it with doing segment intending. So it's almost like a slam dunk.
Yeah,
it's almost a guaranteed win.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you feel it, I mean, that's the thing that caught my attention more than anything else. The fact that it accelerates everything. I can literally feel resistances fall away. I can feel myself zooming into a higher flying place. I can feel it all happen quickly. I like that.
Nice. Yeah. Very nice.
So how about you? What's going on with the projects?
Well, the fun thing was today was the one day I didn't have anything specific I had to do in the morning.
Nice.
So when I went to sleep last night, I went, ooh, this is cool, because I'm just going to milk whatever happens Friday morning,
yeah.
You know, because I have no deadlines. So it was maybe 9:30, and I couldn't believe I was still asleep. But the phone rings, and it was my massage place calling to confirm my massage for tomorrow. And so, you know, I said, yes, I'll be there. And then I hung up, and I went, man, the phone woke me up. I didn't get to just keep sleeping. And I thought, okay, I don't even like how that feels. So let go of that. So I let go of the fact I was woken up, and I went, who knows, maybe there's great reason behind it. And so I'm just going to lie back down. I'm not, because, you know, if I start getting aggravated about it, then that really will wake me up.
Oh, of course.
So I'm like, no, just let it go. Go back into your slumber and let whatever happen, happen. So I was kind of in that place of, okay, let's just go back to sleep. And before I really went into sleepfulness, I heard myself just starting to ask some normal questions, like, where would be a good place to start for the day? And, you know, I started with, everything always works out for me. And I'm like, yeah, it really does. Everything really does always work out for me. And that felt really good, just saying that. So I went, what else do I want to say? It's like all of a sudden I wasn't as interested in sleeping anymore, because just the good feeling of saying everything always works out for me was so just yay. And so I went, okay, well, you know, the day before, I can't remember if I talked about this yesterday, but it's like I was starting to have a little bit of doubt creep in about Project X. And I went, you know, okay, so what I've been getting all day, the day before and yesterday, was make a decision and line up with it, which means whatever I've decided to do, get my beliefs to support what it is that I desire. And the way you do it is by getting yourself into a place where you're on the same belief system as what you know your infinite inner being is believing about a subject. And when you're on the same belief system, no doubt, fear, or worry shows up anymore, because you've kind of overcome them with your new sense of belief. So that's kind of where I went this morning. And I went, okay. And I just asked my inner being, you know, what thought can I start thinking that will help to bridge the gap between a little bit of doubt that was creeping in and where I want to go? And here's what I want to share. Now, I know in the past I've kept Project X kind of mysterious in terms of what it is, but I'm feeling comfortable.
Oh.
Talking about it in a little bit more specifics.
Okay.
I mean, I did share the other day it had to do with, you know, creating some new income streams for myself. It had to do with finances. I did share how the new target for my finances was $30,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And the bare minimum is $15,000. And then I'd love to overshoot the 30 and go to $50,000 plus.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say this for the audience, but I had shared this with you a long time ago, Walt, that while I was sitting in front of the TV one day, all of a sudden it was like I had an out-of-body experience, except I was in my body. It was like being asleep, but I was awake, and so I'm calling it a daydream. And it was like I received this imagination, I received this scenario where all of a sudden I sensed that like a woman had called me on the phone. And she was calling because she saw my website and that I was a life coach. And she said, you know what? I absolutely need what you have to offer. She said, I will pay anything for it. I need to change my life. And I'm really like highly motivated to make it happen. And I just sense you're the person that can help me do that, you know? And I said, well, yeah, I'm a coach. And, you know, do you want to work with Law of Attraction? She goes, yes, absolutely. And she goes, you know, how much money do you want? And I said, $250,000. She went, done. What else do you want? And of course, you know, even in my daydream, I'm like, holy cow. And she said, "Done. What else do you want?" And I said, "I would like for you to introduce me to three people that you know that can afford my services that want what you are going to get from me." She goes, "Done. What else do you want?" And I said, "Well, do you think at any point in our working together, you'll want me to travel with you?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Okay, so everywhere we travel, I want to go first class airline, first class accommodations at a hotel, and first class everything." And she goes, "Done. What else?" And at that point, it was like it had overwhelmed my senses.
Yeah.
And so I snapped out of the daydream because I was almost like in shock.
Sure.
That these thoughts, this imagination had actually flowed through me. I'm like, holy cow, this was amazing. So that was, I want to say that was a couple months ago, wouldn't you say, Walt, since I told
you
that?
When you told me about that, yeah, it was at least a couple months ago, yeah.
Yeah, well, and then, you know, as I talked more about it, I kept calling it Project X, and I've had this little niggly sensation that Project X wanted to be redefined. Like, Project X wanted less anonymity, you know, less mystery with more definiteness to it. So I did kind of open up and start talking about it, that it was about my finances and it was about, you know, income stream and, you know, bringing in new business in a new way. And so this morning, as I'm lying in bed and I'm asking my infinite being, you know, okay, so how do I start to bridge the gap? And this was like the woman who had wanted to pay me $250,000,
mm-hmm.
but it was different in that I wasn't in a daydream. It felt like I sort of like gave the first impulse as to how it was going to happen. And yet I will say it came with such ease that I honestly don't know if this was me making up this as an imagination or if my inner being floated to me. I don't really know. I'm not really concerned either direction. In other words, what the source was to me is irrelevant.
Okay.
Because once I tell it to you and I tell you how I felt, that's the important part.
True.
So this morning, after I asked my inner being, you know, hey, where do we get started in bridging where I'm at in my belief system to I'm wanting to go to where new income streams of 30,000 plus a month is not only going to be a done deal, but it feels like so natural that in Abraham's words, it's the next logical step for it to actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of a sudden, again, I sensed in my imagination that the phone rang and it was a woman who lived in the Dallas area. And she said, I was reading your website and I'm really excited to talk with you, because I really feel like you could help me dramatically in my life. She said, my life on so many levels is so great, but that's like on the surface. There are just some things on an inner level that I really, really desire to have more in my life. And do you think you can help me? And I said, yes, I absolutely believe I can help you. That's what I do. And she goes, I understand the law of attraction, but I'm really having a hard time figuring out how to really make it work in my life. I said, well, that's what I do. Mm-hmm. And she goes, I know. And that's what I read on your website. So she said, you know, can I put you like on a retainer? I don't know if you do that. And I said, well, just because I've never done it doesn't mean we can't come up with something that seems feasible. I said, what are you thinking? She said, I'm thinking like $25,000 a month where you're available to me whenever I need you. And she goes, but I'm not going to be like a jerk where, you know, the moment I call you, you have to drop everything. She goes, you know, as long as it's within a relatively decent period of time, you know, if you're going out with friends, I don't want you to stop your social life, but just that you'll make yourself available to me as quickly as possible so that when something's on my mind, I can work through it. And I said, that seems very reasonable. And so she said, well, can we just set this up where I'll pay you $25,000 a month and we'll say a minimum of a year.
And
then when we come close to a year, I'll see if we want to keep going. And I said, that sounds great. And I said, when do you want to get started? And she said, I'm really eager. And I said, do you want to start right now? And she went, yes.
Whoa.
And so that was like segment one of my imagination dreaming.
Yeah, that's pretty in-depth
and
stuff,
too. And that felt really sweet.
Yeah. By the way, I'm sure you've done the math, but it actually comes out to more than 250,000.
Yeah, trust me, I've done the math. But, you know, you got to start somewhere and then say, or more, right?
That's right, yeah.
So, wow. Okay, that was the first piece. And, like, immediately when that phone call ended and that little segment in my imagination ended, the phone rang again. And it was another woman. And she said, I found you on your website, and I'm really interested in law of attraction coaching. And I said, fabulous. And she goes, I've looked at your different packages. And she said, I want your big package, which is like $5,000, which my $5,000 package is 24 sessions spaced out in any configuration throughout a year.
Oh, okay.
And she says, but you know what? I know the way it's set up, it almost gives the appearance 24 sessions within a year. It's like one every 2 weeks. She goes, I'm really wanting to like knock out some things in my life where I get some really fast movement. So could I do like maybe two or three sessions in a week? And I said, sure. And she goes, so I know if I keep going at that pace, I'll probably use up my whole allotment within 6 months or so or less. And she goes, and then at that point, I might want to do it again because I'm really, really wanting to make some huge strides in my life.
Mm.
And I said, absolutely. Let's put it on the calendar. Boom. That little imagination ended. Then I have another one. And just for the sake of time, it was almost identical to that call. Someone else who wanted to buy my $5,000 package. And then boom, that little segment was over. Then I have another one, and this gal called, and they were all women, by the way. And this one said, I want to buy your $2,800 package, which I know is 12 sessions. I'll tell you, Walt, at this point, it was like more than my Wendy personal senses could handle.
Mm.
So it was like I ended the dream segment, and I almost brought myself to a greater level of consciousness. So I would like snap out of it, if
wow.
that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so I was just sitting thinking about what just transpired because it wasn't one imagination. It was like four going boom, 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 boom.
Mm.
And it was like, whoa. And I went, okay, inner being, I asked for it. Well, that sure is making me feel like I'm bridging the gap quite nicely. Now, what I know as I'm saying this to you now is I really need to condition this where I think on this a lot so that I become so steeped in this energy.
And what do you mean by condition? Tell me specifically what you mean by condition this.
Keep thinking about it over and over and over.
Oh, okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. Because what I found is that even though during this show I've talked about Project X on numerous occasions and I've gotten really excited and it's been thrilling to me. I did not sustain that vibration.
Ah.
And because I was asking questions, okay, how did these doubts and worries all of a sudden come back in?
Mm-hmm.
And what I got was make a decision and line up with it.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the words I heard. And I went, okay, so what I'm hearing is I did not sustain the vibration. I didn't keep that high vibration because, frankly, when I got that image of the woman saying, I'll pay you anything you want, you know, what do you want? And I said, $250,000. And she went, done. What else do you want?
Yeah.
That was such a magnificent daydream.
Oh, yeah.
But, Walt, it was so far away from my everyday belief system about money and about income. And so while I was focused on that, I was sustaining it and holding on to it. But then life got in the way. Well, no, I don't even want to say that. I moved on to some other things and was focusing on some other things. And I lost the big energetic bump,
mm-hmm.
like shift
yep.
that took me to that place. And what I understand about energy and when we're wanting to create something in our life that is really big and like really far from where we normally are, it takes either a lot of intense conditioning or practicing a new vibration over and over and over and over for it to stick and be kind of like a habit.
Yep.
Like where that vibration becomes the habit for me. And if you don't, you will kind of move back to whatever your natural vibration is or what your set point vibration is about money.
Mm-hmm,
now, sure. I have a pretty decent set point in terms of what I believe about money, but that idea of a client wanting to pay me any amount of money that I chose was like really far reaching for where I have been.
Mm-hmm.
And from, you know, the year 2000, when I retired from costuming, you know, for all sorts of reasons, one of which it wasn't making us money. I was out of work for an extended period of time. You know, bills were mounting, things got difficult, behind on the rent, car breaks down. You know, that's where I was in like 2000, 2002. And incrementally, I have been building a belief system about money and what is possible to where now I've hit the big, like my first big financial goal that I wanted to make in income, I've now done. And I don't have bills except for my mortgage. And, you know, pretty much I have a little bit of surplus for the first time in my life. So it's taken me 16 years of shifting my energy little by little by little to be where I am now.
Mm-hmm.
But I know based on like what Abraham talks about, wherever your vibration is on a given subject is where it is. And so if let's just say for some reason I lost my job or my company went bankrupt and all of a sudden I'd find myself out of work, I honestly would have every expectation that whatever new job I land in will be easy for me to get the same amount of money that I'm currently making or a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Where once upon a time, I wouldn't have believed that. I would have been like, oh my God, would anybody even think I have the credentials or the experience to do the job? But now sure. It's like, no, I've now reached a certain monetary level. And if I needed to find another job, I totally believe I could find it for the same amount of money because that's where my money vibration is. Okay.
Yep.
But the going to $30,000 plus a month is a really big leap for where I currently am.
It's a stretch.
And I don't have a belief system that completely supports that for that to show up today. And so because I took on the idea of not just testing the law of attraction, but choosing to be deliberate about wanting to create something that is a stretch for me, this is what I chose.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is a stretch for me, but I'll be honest with you, until the last couple of days, the reality of how much of a stretch it was has now been felt by me.
Ah.
Because I think for a while I was kind of living on the excitement of all these new insights that were coming to me.
Which is good.
Which was very good, very exciting, definitely a part of what's taking me to the next level.
Sure.
But I hadn't really sustained that energy because I hadn't conditioned it to make it a habit where that vibration would lift and stay there. And so now I feel I have a much more specific target in mind as to what my work is, because, you know, I love to take action, and it really upset me when I was getting, no, there's nothing for you to do.
I remember, right. Yeah.
Now there's something for me to do.
Yeah.
It's to continually focus on not only the imagination or, you know, or images that I had this morning, but to build upon those and create more scenarios like that and just let myself bask and bathe in the energy of having, you know, my phone ringing off the wall because people are wanting and clamoring for my services, not because they're my services, but because they're making a difference. And that the people I'm helping, they're telling their friends who are telling their friends. And as I was thinking about this morning, not when I was in bed, I'd gotten out of bed. I was now, you know, doing stuff around the house and doing some physical work at my computer. All of a sudden, I heard applause.
Ooh.
And I asked, what is that? And I got kind of like when Esther or when Oprah or when somebody who is, you know, so well known and people love and adore walk into a room or an audience or whatever, people stand to their feet and applaud. And I don't know where I was or what I was doing, but I sensed that I was walking into a space where there were many people that knew me or knew my work or knew of the work that I do, and they were standing to their feet and applauding.
That's a nice feeling.
And it was like, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. This is good. So I will say that I haven't raised my vibration to the point it's sustained, but I have definitely raised the bar for me today. And what I also found really fascinating was the first time I was able to endure, and I use that word purposefully, through one experience, one imagination experience. And I cut it off because it kind of blew my emotional circuits. Today I made it through four, and then I put it to an end.
Yeah.
So what that tells me is I sustained something that's at a higher level because I could take in more voltage, more energy, more electricity.
Yeah.
But then I hit a, kind of a ceiling, like, okay, I got to take a breath because that's like a lot. So I look at these two experiences and I'm like, okay, so next time I want more, where we can turn up the voltage a little bit higher to get me more conditioned to feeling that level of voltage, energy, vibration going through me, because that's how I'm going to sustain it. And I don't know to what degree you're familiar with Esther's story, but when she first started receiving Abraham, it was like electricity flying through her body, and it was very unnerving to her.
Yeah, I remember reading that, yeah.
And so, like, at first, she had to be seated when she received Abraham because it would throw her physical body off balance.
Mm.
Then over time, as she was becoming more conditioned to that, and it was becoming more familiar and comfortable to her, she could then stand, but she had to hold on to something like a podium. And that would keep her balanced. And then over time, she was able to walk away from the podium.
Wait,
but she had to start at the podium. And then she could walk away. And now she doesn't require the podium at all.
Right. Yep. What you're describing, too, is a different way of looking at the word stretch. Because when I think of a stretch, like we talked earlier here in this session about how it was a stretch for you to be thinking in terms of a higher income level. And I think most of us, myself included, would think of that, well, I have to somehow stretch where I am right now to a new belief level, and I have to somehow get up there. But the kind of stretch you're talking about is more the stretch of being able to receive more of the dream rather than actually having to reach out for it, just making room for it, so to speak.
Hmm. I like how you see that. Yeah.
Which is truly allowing.
I would agree. Yeah, and I would say, even based on what I just shared in terms of like how the energy comes in, because when you do things at a higher vibration, it can be felt through the body, and your body is actually experiencing a different level of energy running through it. And, you know, at another time, some of my asking has been to be able to open up my channels wider so I can take in more of higher level energy so that I can be more and then obviously do more. And I sense that, you know, one of the things I know about law of attraction is that law of attraction is always working with the path of least resistance. What is the simplest way to provide for any one of us the things that we desire?
Mm-hmm.
And if they could get, you know, what we call a twofer, you know, a two for one,
mm-hmm.
that really is the ultimate path of least resistance. Because if they could do one thing, but it generates the results that we're looking for with two different asks, all the better.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I'm sensing now is I'm wanting to fulfill higher levels of income. That's one ask. But I've also had a separate ask, which is open me up bigger so I can receive and sustain higher levels of energy. And I kind of think they're working together.
I would be surprised.
Yeah. So
as you're talking about
anyway,
what you were experiencing when you were receiving these dreams, these waking dreams, and you mm-hmm. said you got to a point where your body just couldn't handle it anymore. It was like you short-circuited or something.
It's like I felt overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed, right.
Yeah. I felt overwhelmed.
And I'm looking at that kind of from a semi-electrical viewpoint and saying, okay, well, that source energy, that's pure source is flowing through you. And the overwhelm can be described as an overload, similar to an electrical overload.
Hmm.
Well, an overload is going to happen when the resistance within you, within the object, whatever it is preventing the object from absorbing and using the electricity flowing through, which kind of reinforces for me something that I think we already knew, but it just kind of gives it a new perspective that resistance is in our bodies. The resistance actually resides in the bodies. And that's interesting. I mean, it's actually, we're talking about a physical resistance in the body. Before, for me, it was always just metaphorical. Now it's much more real.
Oh. Well, I've been aware for a long time, and this is part of what I learned when I was studying NLP, is that we store memories in different spaces. Some of our memories we store within our body, within different organs, within different limbs. Some we store in our auric field around us. And so if we store memories of negative scenarios or disempowering beliefs, oftentimes those memories are stored physically within our body. Match up what you're talking about with what my experience is with that, I guess I'll put another level to this that makes sense, that where I shut down due to overwhelm, like my circuits have received all the electrical impulse that they could handle, it's like because there were pockets of resistant memory and beliefs that I have within me, and the higher level of energy that was flowing through with these dream sequences this morning bumped up against some of those resistant pockets.
Mm-hmm.
And couldn't keep moving through. And my desire is to be such an open channel that I blow out those resistances
mm-hmm.
so that energy can just flow through me.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, I was just going to say that that's one of the reasons why I've consciously been focusing on wanting to release every resistance I can find to release. First of all, I have to find where it is and what it is and notice that it's even there. That's a big challenge right there. But once I notice it, then my next thing is, I want to get rid of it. I want it out of here. Get out. Go. The door's over there. Get going.
Oh, you know what? I hope you'll like this. I can tell you the best way to find those pockets of resistance that you're looking for.
Yeah, sure.
Put your attention on what you desire. And as soon as your focused attention on what you desire becomes so powerful, if there's anything in the way from it being created, you will bump up against one of those pockets of resistance.
Oh.
And then it'll be right there in your face. And you'll go, oh, there's one of those things I've been asking to have surface so that I can work on it.
Okay. So
does that make sense? In other words, you don't have to set out to go, okay, I'm going to go seek out resistance to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
It naturally is part of the process of setting your sights on what you desire, because whatever's in the way will always make itself known to you. And then you work on it.
So when I'm trying to imagine something that I want to attract, and I'm getting excited, and I'm you know, building the image of it and building the thought of it, and it's developing and growing and so forth. Mm-hmm. How do I know when I've reached the resistance? Is it like when the energy starts to fall off? Is it when I find I can't create any more image, or I'm running out of ideas? Or how do I know when I've reached the resistance?
Because you'll start to feel it with negative emotion. So now I just described an example of this, but now that you're asking the question, let's see if we can put my story to what you're saying.
Okay, sure.
So what I was sharing is I've been flying pretty high in terms of Project X and creating new income streams, and it felt really good. And then the last couple of days, as I focused on that, I started to notice that there was doubt and concern that it wasn't going to happen. That doubt and concern feeling was the resistance.
Yes. Okay. All right. That makes sense.
And so, yeah, it's like I didn't have to go looking for where's the resistance, because I know it's going to show up. That's mm-hmm. what it does.
Sure. Yeah.
Because, you know, if you're going from, you know, point A to point B, and there's a whole bunch of crap all along the pathway, the crap equals the resistance. Well, if there's nothing for the first 10 feet, you just go on a straight line and everything's cool and it feels easy breezy. And then you run into the first piece of yuck that's sitting on the pathway. And then you go, okay, well, what do I do with that? And how do I get rid of it? And then when, you know, now in metaphysical terms, it's usually a thought, a belief, something that requires reframing or a new way to look at things. And then when you look at that thing that has been sitting on the middle of your trail, in a way that no longer is offensive to you, it doesn't bother you, you transmute the energy and poof, it's off the trail.
Mm-hmm.
And now you go, oh, I can see clear for the next 10 to 15 feet. And
right.
you just keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the next one comes up, you deal with that one.
Okay.
And you do it until you get to point B, which is your destination.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was talking about this the other day, that in the past, many years ago, what I used to do is once I hit that first bump in the road, I couldn't figure out how to get over it, around it, or under it, because I didn't have the tools I have now. I didn't have the belief systems that I have now. And I would just quit in discouragement.
Sure.
Because I couldn't see how I could keep going. But that's not the case anymore.
Yeah, that's good. That's a big improvement. And you're right. I've often bumped up against what I guess I have to call a resistance. And A, not knowing what it was. And B, not knowing what to do about it. And C, felt defeated.
Yeah, which I think is exactly what I was describing I went through.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You just put it in better words.
So, you know, typically I just turn tail and go back home, you know, because I didn't know what else to do.
And you know what? That's what a lot of us do.
Yeah.
When we don't know, we just kind of, you know, some people, you know, they're like, you're mega superhumans in life. They'll push through it and they'll figure out a way. And you go, how did they know to do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of us mortals, you know, we kind of go, I don't know. I'm just going to like let it go for now. And maybe in the course of life, I'll figure out something new and I'll be able to go after it again.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I mean, I guess the first step is recognizing what you've run into. Now I know to label it, I've run into a resistance. And I have some idea of what a resistance is. Okay, well, that's better than what I knew before. So that's a good thing.
Hmm. And, you know, we could redefine resistance as anything that feels not positive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anytime something you experience or something you think about causes an uncomfortable feeling or an angry feeling or a frustration feeling or a revengeful feeling or a hopeless feeling or despair, anything on the negative side of emotion, it's resistance.
I guess really it's anything that we run into that derails us or stops us. If the process was going and then it stops, we just found resistance.
Exactly. Now, I sure didn't know that many years ago.
I didn't have a clue.
Right. But knowing it now we can take that information and make new decisions about what to do going forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I was listening to an Abraham CD the other day, I really got that there is nothing in life that is not for our benefit. Nothing. Now, that's not how I grew up thinking, because if I wanted a job and I got turned down, I saw that as something horrible. But what I didn't know how to process that information years ago, whereas now, if I try to do something and I get a no, well, that's information. And then I ask new questions of my infinite being, like, okay, so that didn't pan out. Would it be good for me to try again and go back to that same place and, you know, provide some new information? Or the fact that I got turned down, does that mean I should be looking someplace else? Is there something that will actually be for my highest and best good that's a better choice or a better fit for what I desire versus this thing where they said no to me? So truly every bit of contrast, every bit of negative experience is truly for our benefit. However, it doesn't feel like it's to our benefit unless we think of it as beneficial.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, we have to know that it's even there and what it is. But then you're right. We have to find the mental place where we can take whatever steps we need to take to get it out of the way, which raises an interesting question in my mind. Is it necessary, once we've identified there's some sort of resistance in the way, to know what the resistance source is?
Yes and no. Do you have to go all the way back to childhood to find the first place that it happened and you've been carrying it all the way through your life? Not necessarily. You can start wherever you are. You can, you know, ask questions like, well, this feels like this to me. And then you ask, and what does that mean? Or for what purpose am I doing that? Or is there something I'm avoiding? When you poke at the thing that is causing the distress, poke around at it, when you land on a response that you get a sense of, ooh, okay, now I'm onto something, you follow that breadcrumb trail and you keep asking that more questions. Sometimes it will lead you all the way back to the origin. Sometimes it doesn't. But you know when you feel you got what you needed because you feel a sense of relief, you feel a sense of empowerment, and that old way of thinking no longer feels true anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other day when I was talking about my really good friend who had called me because she was overwhelmed and she had all sorts of things going on in her life.
Yeah.
And she did tell me the biggest overwhelm was the relationship she had. So all the other things were just kind of compounding her negative feelings. So after we talked about some stuff with her, that was an instance where I sensed, because she said it was going on with the current man in her life, with her husband of 25 years, and I said, oh, we're not dealing with something brand new because of this new relationship. And I said, this goes back further. And I just threw out there, I said, can you think of anything that felt the same way where you felt like you shut down in a relationship with a teacher, a parent, your mom, your dad? And she went, oh, mom. And it's like, that was something that popped. It was an energized response for her. And so we did actually find what I would consider the source origin of the problem. That doesn't always happen. Sometimes you can take care of it right where you're at. But what I was going to say is, she called me the next day and she said to me, "Oh my God, I went to sleep after we talked. I slept like a rock." And she said, normally I don't. She said, "Normally I have a hard time sleeping. I'm a restless sleeper. My mind won't shut off." And she said, "I slept hard and long." And she said, then my man came over that night and it was a really good experience. And she told me some of their conversation. And she said, it felt very different than before.
Wow.
And then there was another piece that I suggested to her. I said, okay, now you're ready for this next thing. And she went, "You're right, I am." But she started using the newness and the freshness of a new way of perceiving a relationship and how she is loved. And just because somebody says no in the moment doesn't mean, oh, they don't love me anymore. And she like knew that it changed, because there was something where he had to say, "No, I'm not really available for this." And she didn't shut down.
So in the context of resistances and running into a resistance and then trying to figure out how to get around that, how does the story you told just tie into that?
The story of
Your friend.
I'm not quite sure.
The story of your friend and how she had the big breakthrough and then she had the big sleep and was very refreshed and then had a great conversation with her man. So tie that into the description we were talking about earlier about how you're getting into a high flying place and all of a sudden you're running into a resistance and then you're trying to get around it.
Oh, because she was like embracing this new relationship, really enjoying it, but noticing that she was running into areas where she would start to pull back. That was a moment of resistance.
Oh, okay.
And she didn't know what to do with it, and it kept happening over and over until now it was getting big enough that even he was going, "What's wrong?" You know, because in the newness of a relationship, you blow that stuff off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But now they've been together a number of months, and he's like, "Hey, what's wrong with you? What's going on?"
Mm-hmm.
And that's when she called me. She said, "There's something big going on, and I don't know what it is, and I don't even know why I keep shutting down."
Right.
And remember,
okay,
we started with her AC heating unit.
Yeah, I remember
and
that.
And she said,
yeah,
it was going hot
too,
and cold, which
right,
is a physical indicator.
Yeah.
And she said, "That's what's happening in my relationship. I go hot and cold with him."
Mm. Yeah, okay.
And so we started getting under the hood of why she was going hot and cold and
right,
what did that mean and what was she trying to avoid. And, you know, she was trying to protect herself from being hurt.
Which
and
makes
we looked
a lot
at,
of sense.
You know, we got under that some more, like, well, when did, how did that, how does that happen? And et cetera, et cetera. So
mm-hmm,
that was, she's moving forward in a relationship and then she ran into some resistance because she can't just keep moving forward because she's running into this pattern of where she withdraws herself from the relationship. That's resistance.
It certainly is, yeah. And what's cool is that with your help, she found a way around that resistance, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
and so now she'll keep moving forward, and I promise you, she'll run into another pocket of resistance because
oh,
that's
sure,
what happens.
Yeah, well, it's part of life, really.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, as usual, we have completely blown off the book. Which is a good thing. It's fine. You know, it's still, it'll be there for us next week. No big deal. But
it's there for when we have nothing else to talk about.
I guess that's what it is, isn't it? That's for when we have nothing else to talk about. But this has been good. Now, just on the off chance that in the course of you telling that story, one of those people who you were dreaming about is actually listening, how do they reach out to you?
They can find me at wendydillard.com, and my phone number is listed all over the place on my website.
Fantastic. Well, I have to say congratulations on all this wonderful, active, vivid dreaming you're doing, and I look forward to hearing some more of it next week.
Thanks. It has been fun, and it's been really quite the pleasure to express it on the show.
All right.
Makes it even more alive.
And we hope you join us as well next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye for now.